Always enjoy Brother Wiggins singing. Enjoyed it Saturday and Sunday. And appreciate, again, Brother Mosley working with the sound and putting this together. And looking for, I know he's looking forward to Sunday, too, using these other sound systems. By the way, whoever gave the Thanksgiving offering, your Thanksgiving offering went towards the sound system. So good job. And if anybody else would like to give a Thanksgiving offering, that's where it would go. So keep that in mind. Just curious. It's good to have Russell Abrams with us tonight, and I heard he was going to be here. I said, we ought to have Russell say, preach. If you go to Heartland Baptist Bible College, we don't say anything. We preach, right?
Right.
Right. We don't give a speech. We preach, right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Come on, Russell, and preach to us.
All right, I'm going to start off with saying three things. One, I'm nervous and excited at the same time. So bear with me if I get tongue-tied or start jumping around. Two, this new auditorium is beautiful. I love it. I wish I would have been here the day that y'all opened it and just, I missed out. Three, I'm glad to be back in Texas. Oklahoma is a whole nother world. All right, school's been good. I'm sure most of y'all are wondering that. Although it's a Bible college, there are a lot of distractions, as most of you know. And not everyone wants to be there for the right reasons. Everyone struggles. So you have to push through it, and you got to help the people that are struggling. So starting to learn about that a little bit, and it's been good. Like Brother Crawford said, the food, it's not that great, but... The freshman 15, how you're supposed to gain 15, was the opposite on me. So, in other words, I've lost 15 pounds. And it's depressing. I guess I'll stop talking and I'll start preaching. Let's see if I can even find where I'm at. If everyone would turn to Daniel 3 with me. It's going to be a lengthy read, so bear with me. But normally, I guess you would think that I'd preach on a message about giving thanks since it's Thanksgiving week. But Brother Crawford, or Caleb sent me a text while I was on my way here saying that Brother Crawford wanted me to preach. I didn't see it till about 4 o'clock and didn't get home till about 5. So I tried to cram all this together. But I wanted to preach on something about being thankful, but... That's not what the Lord wanted me to do tonight, so it's going to be a whole other subject. I may go into a little bit of giving thanks, but we're going to start out in verse 4. We're going to go through verse 19. So, then, and Herod cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast unto the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Right there, he's giving them a second chance to bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Let's pray real quick. Dear and Father, Lord, I thank you for giving me this opportunity, Lord. I'm not worthy of it to be able to preach from your word to this crowd, Lord. Just give me the words to speak. Speak through me, Lord. I can't do anything without you. I need your help tonight. And just use me, Lord, and speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go back and read chapter 3 and verse 1 so you can get a little bit of background of what's going on. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. In that little area, it says that pretty much everyone in that area was there, including, you know, all the high people, the princes. They were all there. And what would you do if you were in that place? Like, say that Obama forced everyone in this country to go and worship some statue that he built, and everyone was there, your friends, your family. And, you know, that's a lot of pressure because you want to follow what they do majority of the time. It says in verse 6 that whoso falleth not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So there, you not only have everyone that you know, you're also, your life is being threatened. Their lives are being threatened. He's telling them that you're going to die if you don't listen. And in verse 8, it says, wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. So they're saying, hey, king, you got some Jews over here that are not listening, that are not bowing down. They're not going to listen to you. They're just standing there. Go over there and talk to them or something. So he goes over there and he calls the three Jews there, and he's talking to them. And as I said before, he gave them a second chance. And as they said, they denied him again. They said, no, we're not doing it. Now, in this world, we may not be serving exactly a golden image or something that Obama has brought up, but we may be serving for music. We may be just living life to play video games. We may get distracted by that. Maybe for some people that struggle with alcohol, that's all that they can do for their life. They just have to focus on that. Or even our flesh, which is daily things, little things that we sometimes don't even think of. But majority of the people put their faith in that, and they struggle with that on a daily basis. And mainly because that's your faith. And right here, in this passage, these three men are proving who they have their faith in, and it's God. And only God can deliver them, is what they're saying. Even if he doesn't deliver them, they said that we will not bow down to your gods, for our God will deliver us. Who are you putting your faith in tonight? Are you putting your faith in your pastor, your friends, your family, a person in this world? When in reality, we should put our faith in someone who can never fail us, Because Brother Crawford can fail us, unfortunately. Our parents can fail us, unfortunately. Our friends can fail us on a daily basis whenever we don't even realize it sometimes. But God will never fail you. He will never change. He never changes. And people around us change every day, as you can tell in the world. It's changing like crazy. It's unbelievable how much is going on out there that I don't even know about because I'm being stuck to a Bible college, which is, I'm not complaining because it's amazing. But I don't even know what's going on in Israel right now because we're not allowed to watch TV. So I'm kind of left out on the news and everything. But coming back to reality and seeing what all is actually going on is nerve-wracking. It's crazy because we don't even realize it because we're living in the moment majority of the time. But we need to be like Christ. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, we need to be like Christ because that is the definition of Christian, like Christ. And we can't be like Christ unless we're putting our faith in Him and trying to be like Him on a daily basis. Like the question that, or the little saying that we used to put on bands, like armbands, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We should actually think about that now. It's not just a joke. It's not just something to wear around your wrist, around your necklace. We need to live it. We need to be like Christ. We need to put our faith in Him. That's our goal as a Christian. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you might as well be a Christian. Don't be a fake Christian. There's too many fake Christians out there today that just live their life being a hypocrite, just lying. And in Bible college, you actually see the true side of people sometimes. And one of the guys, they were doing jokes and everything at night at 2:00 in the morning. They were going around slapping people in their sleep because apparently you can't feel it or something. But so they're going around slapping people in their face. Luckily, I was awake, so they didn't slap me. Otherwise, someone would have gotten hurt. But they went and slapped one of the guys, and the guy had work in the morning, and he sat up in his bed, and he was screaming, and he ruined his testimony in front of everyone. Let's just say that. I probably won't be able to look at him the same, but you got to forgive him. So, but don't ruin your testimony around your friends. I mean, right here, all their friends, all their relatives, all the people around them, all the people that they were in control of, all the people that were in control of them were here bowing down in front of this idol. And these three men were standing alone in this huge crowd. And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. If you were put into that place, would you have enough faith that God would pull you out of that furnace? Or in their case, as the story goes on, be in the furnace with you. Do you have enough faith that God would do that if you were to stand for Him? Too often we don't even serve Him. We just live our daily lives. We go to work. We make money. We pay bills. And life goes on. When we should be in our Word doing all of that, plus witnessing like Jesus would do. Like, as I said, what would Jesus do? Whenever you're at work, whenever you're making life decisions, whenever you're around your family, whenever you're around your friends, whenever you're at college, what would Jesus do? Whenever you're writing a paper, would Jesus put the word that you just put in your paper? Whenever if you write newspapers or anything, would Jesus put that in a newspaper? Would Jesus do that at His work? Most likely, no. So you just got to, and most of you would say, well, what if it's the case of, like, how to spend my money wisely? What would Jesus do in that occasion? You know, just stick to your word. Stick to the word that gives you all the answers that you're looking for. And don't fall into the world, even though everyone's saying that it's okay. The world makes it seem that everything's okay, especially music. I wasn't going to hit on music, but I have it in my notes. But Satan's trying to make us give up. He's watching us sit there on our knees, bowing down to all these idols that we put into our lives, when our idol should be this right here. This is what we need to be, you know, in daily, more than anything else in our day. And that's one of the things I've learned most while I was at Bible college, is to be more like Jesus. that is the top priority there. You need to be more like Jesus and in the Word. Because that's where all the life's answers are. We need to stand firm as Christians. Even, as I said, everything else is falling around us. Okay, I got to hit music. It's right there. But on music, we think some music's okay. I mean, they have this CCM, Contemporary Christian Music. Most of it would be considered okay, but it's all about the message, the method, the motive, and the messenger that's singing the song. It's not specifically about the words all the time, because the words could be right, but the method could be wrong, the messenger could be wrong, and the motive could be wrong. They could be doing it just for money. They could be doing it just for their own glory. They may not be praising God exactly in their song. They do it to fulfill the flesh, which is majority of music. When in reality, we need to be listening to the music that has the right message, the right method, the right motives throughout the song, and a messenger who sticks by the word, who sings about the word, who sings praises to God, instead of all this rock music, drums, everything, country music, rock music, rap, hip hop, I can go down the line. But here's the question they asked us this in class one day. Why would God want you to listen to what He saved you from? He saved us from all that. And here, it talks about music in this passage, which is a whole nother sermon, which we can throw in there, but there's not enough time. But we need to stick to what we know is right. Hymnals, you know, good godly gospel music. And, you know, where are you putting your faith? Are you putting your faith in music? Are you putting your faith in the Word of God? Are you putting your faith in your family to depend on them on every decision that you make? When we need to get in the Word and we need to stick to what is right, what we know is right, what our conscience knows is right. Our conscience pretty much can tell you when you're doing something wrong. If you feel weary about doing something, it's probably wrong. And if you have questions, I mean, you have a pastor right here that knows the Word, that sticks to the Word, that will answer your questions. And just stick to the Word. Stay faithful. Even if the world is telling you different, even if Obama is going to make silly decisions in his presidency, we can't do anything about it. It's not in our hands. It's in God's hands. So we don't need to dwell on that. We need to stick to the Word and put our faith in Christ, because He will deliver us from this world. Thank you.
Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 147. Appreciate Brother Russell. And, Bible college opens your eyes. You think, oh, you go to Bible college and everybody there, they're on task. You know, there's no... Anyway. Yeah. It's kind of like sending your kids to Christian school thinking, oh, if we get into Christian school, you know, everything will be fine. That's not true either. And so I appreciate being prayer for Brother Russell. And... just think about, again, the idols in your own life, the things we put in front of God, the things that we allow to control our flesh, and we need to put the Lord first. Amen? Very good. And I do want to say one more, just thank you so much on Sunday. Several of you kicked my wife out of the kitchen. I appreciate that very much, allowing her to be here in the auditorium Sunday morning. That was a real blessing to me. I know her too as well, so thank you so much. Think about Psalm 147 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And look at verse 8. Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens with cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. As I think about Thanksgiving, of course we go back and we think about our God. Of course we're thankful for our Lord sending his Son to die on the cross for us and shed his blood that we might have everlasting life. We think about even the first Thanksgiving when Governor Bradford declared the first public Thanksgiving. And by the way, that Thanksgiving was to God, the first one. Hello? Now that's been left out of the history books. And then even the blessings and thanksgiving they made there in that first harsh winter. George Washington made a Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789. And Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day in 1863. And here's what he said. I read this to you every year, but listen to what he said again. This is Abraham Lincoln's words. The people should assemble in their churches and acknowledge the grace of God as manifested in the abundant fruits of the field and forest. That's what he said we should give thanks for. Thanks to God for the bountiful fruits of the field and forest. It's amazing how they've turned this around. Really. You know, dress up in pilgrim outfits and Indian outfits and whatever else. And very little is talked about God in school. Even when I was in school, there was no mention of God in the Thanksgiving program, even the little country town I grew up in. But let us remember that Thanksgiving is a time for us to thank God for what he's done for this country. And we can gripe and complain about what happened the last few weeks, and I'm still going to from time to time. But thank the Lord we live in the United States of America. And thank God that he has blessed this great nation. And let's pray he continues to do so. And that we understand and know, as Christians, that America is what it is because of God and what God has done. We think about this particular verses and that God is one of great power. It says we know that Psalms also says the heavens declare the glory of God, but here it says he counts the stars and knows them by name. Think about the power of God. By the way, he commands their course. Think about the power of God. All the stars by name. Think about how he provides for the beasts of the field. It goes on to say there in verse 7 through 11, and how he provides for them. Sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto God. When's the last time you just sit down and just thanked God and praised him for what he's done for you? Honestly, when's the last time you did it? When's the last time you just sat down and, as the old song said, just count your blessings and just name them off? I really believe it'd be encouragement to you. Again, so many times we live in a country right now maybe that's very pessimistic. We know that. But sometimes we can become very pessimistic as well. We can become very discouraged as well. And sometimes all we do is look down instead of looking up. I used to love Brother Rigsby. When I went to Bible college, Brother Russell, we'd get in there at 7 o'clock in the morning before the first class. We had prayer. By the way, with Brother Rigsby, you were never late. If that happened, bad things happened. By the way, on time meant you were there 10 minutes early. That was the thing. And I'll never forget coming in and him having prayer with us and him always saying, "The sun is always shining above the clouds." Amen. And then he would say, "Charge!" And just a great, but sons always look up. Look up. Don't allow your circumstances to weigh you down. You stand on your circumstances. Get on top of them. Let the Lord handle them. God is so good. He is so great to us. He's all powerful. He is all powerful. We should praise him for that. He is abundantly supplied us with wonderful things. I'm about to go to my parents. I almost said fixing to, but I said the right word. I thought I'd do that. Just show you guys from the north I know how to speak. I'm fixing to go to my parents' house, and I'm going to eat a lot. I'm really going to enjoy myself. I really am. I'm going to play with the kids and with my brother's 10 kids, and we're going to have a great time. In the past, we've done things like paintball. Grandpa went and bought these cheap paintball guns, and we all shot each other several times throughout the week. We've done various things. We go out and we take shotguns and we shoot stuff, just anything that basically moves. And we just have a great time. It's awesome. I'm so thankful that God has given me the opportunity to go to my dad and mom's house on the farm that I love and to eat and fellowship with my parents. I know some of your parents are gone, and I'm so thankful I still have that opportunity. I delight in it. I thank God that I have that opportunity. Looking forward to it. I enjoy the last couple of days fishing with my oldest boy. I'm thankful for that. Love that. I'm thankful for what God has done for me as a pastor and the church family that I have and how loving and gracious you guys are. I'm thankful for what God has planned for us in the future. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for it all. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my wife, for my kids. And I know you are too. But sometimes we fail to think properly concerning how God has provided those things for us. Those didn't just happen. God supplied. So as you sit at the Thanksgiving table tomorrow, next day, Friday, whenever you get to, if it's Thursday, take some time. I hope, just like at Christmas, you should take time to read the Christmas story. I hope someone in your home will take time to sit around that bountiful, laid out spread of food and really say a few words to the kids and grandkids about how thankful to God you are for your country, for your family, and for your God. Take some time. Don't just let it slip by. Don't let it just slip by, especially with your kids and grandkids. Take a little time. Be still and know that I'm God. Take a little time. We can get so hurried. Thank God for His power, for His provision. And the rest of the chapter speaks of God's providence for His people. Thank God that He gives us peace. Thank God that He gives us prosperity. Just thank the Lord for His wonderful gifts. Take time to do that. Praise Him. Sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto Him. Let Him know that you love Him and you thank Him for what He's done. Amen? All right, let's all stand.